going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro. And I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge, and now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Mets podcast once again. As always, this is your host, Cody Mallory. You can find me on Twitter, at RealCodyMallory. Tonight, we are not joined by Anthony Dittmar as he has prior obligations. I believe he's in Chicago attending the Wizards and Bulls game. Don't quote me on that, but that's what he said. But I am once again joined by my guy, Joe Farrow, on Twitter. That is at SwampDragonStan. How's it going today, Joe?
It's going pretty good for the most part. I'm just very happy that now I am tied with Anthony in our conference. So I am on top of the world right now.
I like it. Yeah, Anthony's not here to defend himself. So I'm just going to throw it out. You guys have been throwing a lot of hate my way, saying I suck, but I'm only one game back. And there's still a ton of basketball left to play. So don't get too confident up there.
I'm not that confident, but I'm just happy that because Anthony was like two ahead of us for a while.
Yeah, for sure. No Anthony tonight. So, Joe, it's up to you. Let's do a little around the league. It's going to be pretty brief. There's not too much craziness going on, but.
Yeah. The only thing that's really happening is, well, Klay Thompson is still on track to come back on Sunday. Obviously, Kyrie Irving came back last night. We'll obviously get to that. And then Drew Holiday and Rudy Gobert have gone into COVID protocols. Drew Holiday will miss tomorrow's game against the Nets. So that's kind of a bonus for the Nets. But as of now, that's basically it going on around the league.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it kind of play out throughout the entire league where when a team has one player go into protocols, the next day they very rarely don't have anyone else go into it. So it'll definitely be something to keep an eye on with Milwaukee. Hopefully they don't lose anyone else. Obviously we want the Mets to win, but you want to beat the teams when they're at their best. You don't want to beat them when they have G-leaguers or eight guys. So that's something to keep an eye on, but that'll probably take tomorrow when they go through some more testing.
Yeah, that's just a huge loss for Milwaukee, though. Very 100%. Huge loss, especially with how we've been playing defense on guards in recent memory.
Yeah.
For the Nets.
Yeah, for sure. They struggle. But a little brief standings update. The Bulls are still in first place ahead of our Nets. The Nets are 1.5 back. The Bulls just keep on winning. Thankfully, the Nets were able to come back against Indiana, but we'll get back to that. And then you got Milwaukee, Miami, Philly, and Cleveland. Cleveland, the surprise team, obviously, of the year. I think everyone else is pretty much what you expected. I don't know about you, but I kind of expected Boston to be a little better than they are. They're in 10th right now. They're 18-20. Obviously, they've had their own series of injuries. They've lost Jaylen Brown, et cetera. But I still, any team that's got two superstars, because I believe Tatum and Brown are both superstars, you expect them to be better at least 500, which they're not.
Yeah, they're definitely disappointing so far. But you expect them to be better might be a little bit of the hometown in you.
Bro, like, first of all, nah, I'm just going to throw it out there. I am a very much anti-Boston Celtics guy. I might be a Red Sox fan, but I am very much anti-Celtics and very much anti-Patriots. So everyone needs to know that. You just had to throw that in there, didn't you?
I had to.
And then the West, I mean, we've kind of been talking about how the West is really top-heavy. But obviously you got Golden State, Phoenix tied, both 29-8, which is incredible. Then you got Utah, the regular season champs every year, it feels like. And then Memphis, who we're going to dive into. Obviously the Nets played Memphis since the last time we talked. So we're going to talk about Memphis a lot. But they've been incredibly impressive lately. They've won 6 in a row now. They're 7-3 in their last 10. The Memphis players are calling Ja Morant the best point guard in the NBA. What's your take on that, Joe?
I mean, at this point, he's definitely made a case for top three this season, at least. Like, he's been unbelievable. It's hard to dispute anything that Ja Morant has done this year because you really can't. He's improved so much. I think he, at this point, is probably the lock for most improved player because he's definitely just taken that next step. He's a full-on superstar at this point. He's a guy that you could build a franchise around. He's a true franchise cornerstone. And it's just like, he's incredible. He's unbelievable, that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been like a freak athlete, obviously, coming out of college. It was just a jump shot. I believe when he first came out, he was shooting around like 31-32% from three in the NBA, where it was like, okay, if they set a ball screen, we can go under it. We can hedge hard. Like, we don't really have to switch it because he's not too much of a threat out there. But my man is shooting, I think he's over 40% from three this year, which is an insane jump. But
and that was
always say.
And that was the main concern for him coming out of college. It's like, is he going to be – they were like, is he just going to be this freak Russell Westbrook-type athlete and have the same type of play style to where he – can somewhat shoot, but like you're not going to close out with like maximum effort every single time he has the ball on the 3-point line. But like,
yeah, he can't just because of how explosive he is.
Yeah, exactly. It's like now he's in that range where it's like you have to respect that 3-pointer, and that just gives him all the more space to drive right past you and dunk all over your center. So that's exactly. Yeah. Going to keep happening. He's improved so much. He's going to be insane in a few years' time.
Yeah, I mean, even I pulled up his stats real quick. So first year, he attempted 2.73 the game, and he shot it at 33%. Second year, he attempted 3.8, and he shot it at 30%. This year, he's attempting 4.3, and he's shooting at an even 40%. So, like, that's just an insane jump. And he's still young. And if there's one thing you can teach, especially this NBA talent coaches, whatever, shooting coaches, it's shooting. You can't really teach the athleticism that he obviously was just naturally gifted with and probably grinded when he was younger to get.
Yeah, don't tell Ben Simmons that you could easily fix a jump shot because
– Bro, like I'm saying, have you seen that man in practice? He can shoot. It's just – he's a little cuckoo if you haven't noticed. Kyrie Irving came back for him, and Kyrie Irving was banished by an entire city. So I just got to throw that out there. But with that Ja Morant talk, we got to talk about the Grizzlies game. It was downright embarrassing and pathetic. I don't really know what else to say. Steve Nash played the same guys that he's been playing in the beginning, old veterans that can't really shoot the ball at all. And the score, in my opinion, I don't know if you feel about this show, was closer than the game was. The rookies did a great job when they came in, rookies Javon Carter and Bruce Brown at the end, to tighten the lead, but the Nets starters and typical rotational pieces, they were getting straight up embarrassed at home. And it's kind of been the theme all year. Athletic teams, teams that can rebound, and teams with a dominant point guard, the Nets have no answer for. And it's kind of concerning.
Yeah, I'm not very – I mean, there's like really – I don't know really what to say about that game. I mean, like, it ended at a 118-104 final score. But the rookies came in and they went on like what a it was, what was it, a 12-0 run or something like that?
Yeah, I believe it was 12-0.
Yeah, it was – I mean, like, it just wasn't the Nets' night overall. James Harden shot 5 for 14. KD shot 8 for 24. Patty Mills 0 for 6 from the field in 30 minutes. Like, it was just really, really embarrassing. But there again, there's not much to say. And that's why – and this is – honestly, I expected this because that's why I decided I picked the Grizzlies to win this game and the Nets lose 3 in a row for the first time all season. I was like, all these guys on the Grizzlies, they are full of confidence right now. They're all young. They all will – they'll run all over the court. They won't stop defending. And all of them can shoot, and all of them just know how to – at such a young age, it's actually pretty scary how all of these young role players for the Memphis Grizzlies are so developed. And, like, you could see so many flashes of, like, future stardom in a lot of these guys. Like – Desmond Bane, obviously we talked about Ja Morant. Jaren Jackson had a really bad game, but like it didn't matter because then you got Jarrett Culver giving you 12 off the bench. Brandon Clark gave you 16. Is this Trey or Tyus? I always get them mixed up. That it's Tyus on the Grizzlies.
It's Tyus, yes.
He gave you 12 off the bench. Like it's like, and then meanwhile, Ja Morant put up 36 and Desmond Bane gave 29. Like these guys, they're all young, they're all hungry, and they wanted to go out and take down the big dog in the Brooklyn Nets, and they did just that.
That they sure did, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the box score right now. Things that stick out to me, obviously, rebounding was just – it was horrible to watch. The Nets got out-rebounded 33-61.
The no, Grizzlies you know what rebounder was?
Yeah, it was Bruce Brown, right?
Yeah, with 7. And then the next highest was 4. Nobody else had higher than 4.
Yeah, like, that's alarming. I mean, the Nets had 33 total rebounds, and the Grizzlies had 23 offensive rebounds. So, like,
that's also
the Grizzlies attempted
– That's also just what Steven Adams does, though. Like,
that's fair.
He'll crash the offensive boards like crazy. Like he finished with 12 boards and Brandon Clark had 7. I wouldn't be surprised if at least 10 offensive rebounds were between them too.
Yeah, Steven Adams had 7. Brandon Clark had 4. So they combined for 11. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So like that's just what those two guys do. And then Jaren Jackson, like I said, he had an off night, but like if he was on, I really would hate to see what the final score of that game was.
Yeah. The Grizzlies attempted 102 shots, and that's attempted 82. So, like, you're not going to win many games when you get out-rebounded by damn near 30. You get outshot by 20. You shoot 29% from 3.
Absolutely.
Honestly, the Nets only turned the ball over 12 times, which is pretty good for them. So, like, that was the one plus they had. But it was, I don't know, it was painful to watch. The lack of effort and focus was very apparent.
Yeah, you can definitely tell.
And we talked about Nash last episode. There was a lot of fans on Twitter calling for Nash's head again. So it's been a common theme recently. No one really talked about him when the Nets were winning. And now that they went through that mini skid, it's, oh, Nash sucks. He needs to be fired. It's over. The Nets are never going to win with Steve Nash as head coach. And yeah. I will just say pump the brakes on that until further notice.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Let's go into the game that I want to talk about. You want to talk about, the fans want to listen to, they want to rewatch, they want to remember it. Indiana Pacers game, obviously, Kyrie Irving was back. And as everyone should have expected, Kyrie Irving took the first shot for the Nets. It wasn't a great shot, but I love to see him be aggressive early on. And Steve Nash even said it was kind of like a welcome back gift. What's your thought on that?
What, the missed shot was a welcome back gift?
No, no. Steve Nash was like, yeah, I drew up the first play for Kyrie as a welcome back gift for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, good. You want to get him involved early. Like Kyrie said in his post-game interview, he said, he's like, the first shot was a bad shot. He goes, it was just, it was me just trying to get the first one to go in and get my first 2 points. But yeah, I mean, I it makes a lot of sense for Kyrie to get the first play drawn up for him, especially against a depleted Pacer team where it's like you would think going into the game that you could kind of have your way with that team. That turned out not to be the case because yeah, of Lance Stephenson. But
I was going to say, Lance Stephenson, that man dropped. He had what? I believe he had 20 in the first quarter. And KD had 16.
He had 20 in the first quarter off the bench. And then
right.
He finished with 30. But, like, my God, dude.
I love the Kyrie quote post-game. He's like, I said to Lance Stephenson, I don't think you ever scored 20 in a quarter in your entire career.
Yeah, yeah. He said he was saying to me, he was just like, he was like, man, this is like a throwback, but I never seen you do it like this.
And then James Harden was like laughing in his press conference saying, haha, of course it would happen to us.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, going into like the Kyrie stuff, he played pretty well. He had a very rough first quarter. I mean, yeah. but once that second quarter hit and he was able to settle himself down, once he got taken out of the game and he came back in the second and he actually was able to get himself going, it was the Kyrie show. It's what we all expected. Kyrie started 0-for-3 and then he finished 9-for-17. So like he was on for the rest of the game. He had a really good showing in his first night back.
Yeah, and there was a spurt in the second quarter. It was early on, right when he came back in, where that man scored 8 points with felt about like 3 seconds, resulting in a Pacers timeout.
Yeah.
And there was the typical Kyrie highlights of that man going coast to coast, crazy finishes, crazy handles. It was a beautiful thing to watch.
Getting himself to his mid-range spots. He was getting like the wing and the over towards the wing and the mid-range side, just knocking him down. It was beautiful. We all missed that.
Definitely, 100%. And unfortunately, we can't see it every game, but that'll be a discussion later in the episode. The Nets' offense was obviously amazing, but their defense, especially in the first half, they gave up, 70-something in the first half. So like you said, a very, very depleted Pacers team. Yeah. And once again, it just screamed to me lack of effort.
I agree. They scored 73 in the first half.
Yeah, that's absurd. Like, I'm sure people are going to try to run away with the narrative, oh, Kyrie Irving comes back and the opposing team scored 73. But, like, Kyrie Irving was one of the very few and only players actually competing on the defensive end. He was going on the floor. He was getting some rebounds. He was in the passing lanes. So, like, that narrative, I'm canceling it right now. Like, Kyrie Irving was very competitive on defense.
Yeah, he was. He was definitely showing a lot of effort on the defensive side of the ball, which we can't say as of recent, especially in this skid, that many others on the team have. So, and I mean, like, you saw once we hit halftime and everybody was able to, like, settle down once again and just, like, really – put their stamp on the game just to realize like, hey, like this is like Kyrie is back. Like we got to stop like stressing ourselves out. We got to play our brand of basketball. So the second half, the Nets turned up. They put up over 70 in the second half, and including in the fourth, we outscored them by 15, 35 to 20. It was just like, they really just flipped the switch second half. They knew what they needed to do and they really bared down and they got it done.
Yeah, we got to talk about Nash again and our thoughts on starting David Duke.
Yeah, why the fuck would they do that? I'm sorry. I didn't get it. I'm like, Bembry has been so good. Like, why do you you bench Bembry the entire first half?
And then, yeah, I mean, it was
– like, just for example, like, David Duke played the first half and had Bembry's minutes, and he was a minus 13. Bembry came in the second half. And he had a plus 24.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't really know what else to say. Like, why do you make that unnecessary change? Like, what do you think that David Duke is going to provide for you that DeAndre Bembry isn't already?
I mean, yeah, I agree with you. Like, I can't argue with this with you at all. Bembry played 20 out of 24 minutes in the second half. And like you said, he was a plus 24. He had 12 points, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 1 assist, 5 rebounds. He was 5 of 5. Most of them were dunks because he's so good at cutting off the ball. And when you have the big three and Patty Mills, who are obviously spacing the floor incredibly, which is something we haven't seen from the Nets. There was times when there would be 4 guys in the paint, and last night there were 0, which is great to see. And Bembry cut so well. I don't know, man. Like, Nash has just got to be overthinking it, because, like, to me, it's obvious that Bembry, besides any of Harden and Durant, he's by far been the best wing player that the Nets have, both defensively and even offensively with his cutting ability. He reminds me of Bruce Brown from last year, but an even better version of Bruce Brown.
Yeah, I completely agree, because he just adds that size. And I mean, he's only a little bit big, but he plays bigger than he is, just like Bruce does. But like, if Bruce is 6'4 and he plays like he's 6'6 and Bembry's 6'5, he plays like he's 6'10. Like, it's like he just adds so much. I don't understand the logic of benching him for the entire first half. And then Bruce didn't play at all as well. And like, I don't understand what's going through Nash's head when you have David Duke getting minutes in the throughout the first half and you let up 73 points in the first half, and yet you don't play Bruce or Bembry throughout the game. It really didn't make sense to me.
Nash's quote in post game was, "We didn't have any intention to bench Bembry. We were just trying something different." That's what he said.
But my thing is, you're already trying something different. You're trying Kyrie Irving.
Right. How many different things do you want to try at once?
That's what I'm saying. And that's where he messes himself up. Because he does try to – when he gets in this mindset that, okay, we're making this change, so we're going to end up experimenting, he experiments too much. All you needed to do was take Patty Mills out of the starting lineup and plug Kyrie Irving in, keep everything the same, and you're completely fine.
I agree, man. I don't get it. Like you said, you're already inserting Kyrie Irving. Like, I tweeted out before the game as a joke. It was like, watch Steve Nash start Cam Thomas instead of Kyrie Irving just to F with us all. And then he starts David Duke. And I was like, bro, like, what is this guy like? I swear, he just wants to set a new record every year for most starting lineups used in a season just so he can have some kind of record.
Yeah, well, we've been pretty lucky to be pretty consistent this year with our lineup for the most part outside of the COVID team that we had to put together. But –
I think the Nets are still up to like 15 or 16 different lineups they've used this year, though.
Yeah, it's
but like you said, a majority of that was that stretch with COVID.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance that we beat that we beat last year's. Last year, what was it like? It was like almost 40 something. It's like almost every it was like up towards 40. It was like might have been like 37. So like basically almost every other game, we had a new lineup.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason they brought back Kyrie was because they basically said there's going to be no continuity this year based on COVID. And, like, we're seeing it, but at some point you hope they kind of – the league as a whole and especially the Nets get past it and they can start building that momentum from playoff time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I did like the way that Nash used Aldridge versus Claxton. I think he's still a tremendous offensive player, and I love the way he can work pick and pops with Harden. It's kind of a different look than what you get with Claxton, obviously, who's going to the rim to dunk on your entire family and do it very hard. Mm-hmm. And then he wants you to know about it because he's been showboating a little bit on the rim lately, and I love it.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Klax is one of those guys where, like, if he gets one to go down over you, you're going to hear it. And you're probably going to hear it for the next 1 to 2 possessions as well. Yeah. Just because Klax is, like, one cocky kid, and I love it. Because he's been playing amazing, and he deserves to let people know about it.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, he kind of came from nowhere. Most people didn't really have him on the radar. Obviously, Nets fans did because we're Nets fans and we fall in love with rookies and then want them to play every second of every game. But Claxton, 100%
not many messages I get saying like, why isn't Cam playing? I'm like, because we're loaded at the guard position now. Like, I'm like, relax. I'm like, he was great earlier, like in summer league and stuff, but like regular season, he's shooting like 20 something percent. We could lay off that for a little bit.
Like, but like, since you brought it up, I wasn't gonna do it. I've been arguing with several people about Cam Thomas. Do I like Cam Thomas as a player? Absolutely 1000%. I am not throwing any shade at Cam Thomas. This Nets team is championship or bust. I'll say it. When you have those three players, you win a championship or it is not a good season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, last year was unfortunate given the injuries, and Cam Thomas has a ton of potential. But like you said, he is shooting 22% from three. He can get to the basket. He can play make. He can score in the paint and in the mid-range. Don't get me wrong. He cannot catch and shoot. I don't remember the exact number. I tweeted it out. I think it's like 27% on catch and shoot shots, which around James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving when he's there, you want players that can catch and shoot because there is only one basketball. Now, when Kyrie Irving's out, sure, Cam Thomas should play, kind of get him in that role where he can have the ball in his hand. But it's just, it's kind of unbearable because, like, I get it. Everyone falls in love with this player, whether it's Cam, whether it's Claxton, whether it's whoever, and it's like, why is Nash not playing? He's a horrible coach. Like, he needs to play. When the goal right now isn't to develop a rookie, the goal is to find the best eight players that can win you a championship in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you said, Cam is shooting whatever, 20-something percent off catch and shoot. And I'm willing to bet Patty Mills is probably shooting at least like 36. Like, he's shooting at least 10 percentage points higher than Cam on those. And that's probably understating it. So it's just like, it's like, why would you want to take out a guy like Patty Mills? What, like, while you have Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Patty Mills, and like, say like Bruce Brown qualifies as a guard, I guess. Like, you have those four guys. Where are the minutes for Cam? And like, people are going to point to like when the rookies came in and they made that run against, the Grizzlies. I'm like, yeah, because it's the fourth quarter. All the guys they were going against are up to 40 minutes already. And they're all like, yeah, it's garbage time points. Like, you got, like, they got to like just relax a little bit. And I love Cam too. I think he's going to be great down the line for us. And like, I don't think he's going anywhere because the vets seem to love him. So like, he's going to be here and they're going to want to develop him more to the point where like, yes, he can create his own shot and he is great with the ball in his hand, but until he's able to like really consistently catch and shoot and get shots created for him rather than creating his own, then he's not going to be able to see substantial time on this team as it's currently constructed.
I 100% agree. I even threw out the name Kessler Edwards and people were saying, oh, he's a second round pick, he shouldn't play, but like, he gives what the Nets need: defense, he can rebound, and I mean, obviously it's a very limited sample size, but he's shooting 47% on catch and shoot this year. Yeah. And I think he's mid to high 30s in 3-point percentage. Granted, like I said, it's a very small sample size. He hasn't played much, but even in the G League and college, that's kind of what he was a catch and shoot kind of player that played good defense, kind of like the typical 3-and-D.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
But don't get me wrong, when that's your full strength, I don't think Kessler Edwards should be in the lineup either. When Joe Harris is back, there's no room for any of these rookies to play. I don't care what anyone says. The goal, especially come playoff time, is to win the championship.
The whole point is the experimenting needs to stop. You plug Kyrie and you plug in Joe Harris, and you're already – like, you haven't had those two for the majority of the year, and you're the second seed in the Eastern Conference right now. Your third and fourth highest paid players on the team are not active, and you're the second seed in the Eastern Conference. Like, you don't need to really experiment. You know what you have. So just don't fuck around. Like, just do what everybody knows you should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, the rotation should be very, should be obvious to me. Like, I don't get it, but I mean,
but it's just like, I don't know. All right, enough harping on this.
I agree. Just one more thing with the Pacers game. The Nets scored 129. That is their second most that they've scored this season. The other one was against Toronto. When it went to overtime, they scored 131. Obviously, with Kyrie Irving playing and Kevin Durant, James Harden, Patty Mills, Joe Harris, when you have that kind of offensive weapons, the goal should be to score 150 every game. So I want to see them to continue playing with that pace that they haven't been playing with all season, because they should want to run teams and shoot teams out of the gym, because there's no one that can score with that trio, with that amount of shooters around them. So that's something I want to see keep going forward.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It should be an unstoppable offensive unit, and it is when they're all there.
Right.
But, you know, and the situation with Kyrie right now is the next two games we won't have him, but we'll see Kyrie Monday.
Yes, I was going to say that. So we saw Kyrie Irving. It was great to see him back on the court. Obviously, he played his ass off. He competed. He said it was his favorite debut he's ever had in his career, and that nothing had ever compared to this. You saw him in his press conference. I believe it was with Grady when Kevin Durant came up to him. That was very cool to see. You saw the interaction he had with his dad after the game where he gave him his jersey, which is also incredible to see. He gave some other stuff to some fans that was sitting courtside on his way out the arena. So Kyrie Irving was very grateful to be back. And you can tell that he's missed being around this group, and he's genuinely missed playing the game of basketball.
Yeah, he definitely did. And he's somebody who always is grateful to be on the court. And he says it time after time again. So it was just great to see him back out there. His energy is infectious. And it was just really fun to see him out there. And yeah, now apparently he's already voted sixth in all-star voting for guards after his first game.
Yeah.
So while we're on that, I'll read out the standings for Nets in the all-star voting. So KD is currently on pace to be the team captain for the East, and Curry is leading all-star voting in the West. Harden is currently second for guards, so that would earn him a starting nod. Kyrie is sixth. And then LaMarcus Aldridge is actually ninth for forwards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Kyrie, obviously, he shouldn't be there. That's just – Nets world trying to get him to play. So, that's fun. But, you know, keep voting Kyrie. See what we can do.
Oh yeah, let's get Kyrie there. The goal of the All-Star game is to have the best players. If he's only played four games, he's still one of the best players in the league, and we want to see him poop. So keep voting, keep retweeting. Let's get Kyrie there.
Absolutely. And yeah, LaMarcus at ninth for forwards isn't too surprising, just because of his offensive resurgence this year. Obviously, it's not like prime LaMarcus Aldridge scoring, but people saw early in the year that he was shooting like 82% on like mid-range jumpers for like a month and a half. So I guess people were throwing his name in there.
Yeah, man. Even still, like, that man is insane. It's, I don't know if the Nets would be if LaMarcus didn't come back, because their backup big would have been, I don't know who. And I mean, I know Blake's been great and stretches, I guess great might be a strong word, but he's been playable in stretches. Obviously, there's been stretches when he hasn't been playable. But LaMarcus Aldridge, he's still shooting 56% from the field, which is very good. He has an effective field percentage of 58, shooting 84% from the free throw line. These are all like career highs for LaMarcus Aldridge. Obviously, he's not shooting at the volume that he was in his prime, because he's on the Nets. He's an old man now, but he's still been incredible, and he absolutely deserves the votes he's been getting. And also, Nets world is strong. Don't listen to any of this nonsense that you're hearing. Oh, there's only 10 fans. No. The Nets are here. Their fans are getting loud. They're getting cocky. We're here. We're here to stay too. So get used to us. Because we ain't going nowhere.
Nowhere.
All right. Let's do it. Week ahead. We got Bucks tomorrow at home. No Kyrie, of course. They don't have Jrue Holiday. Then we got the Spurs Sunday. I believe they moved that game to 12 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a noon game.
So that's kind of strange. You don't really see that too often in the NBA. So you got Anthony's picks.
Yeah, Anthony has – we are losing against Milwaukee, and we are winning against the Spurs.
All right, Joe, I haven't passed you yet, so I'm going to follow the rules of that. You're ahead of me. You got to pick first, man. So luckily for me, I can kind of make the rules up as I go.
I hate to say it. I'm copying it. No, never mind. Never mind. I'm taking two wins. I said I was going to copy Anthony, but he always takes two wins. That's why I said it. But
true. He does always do that.
I'm going to take two wins on this one.
I'm going to hold on. I like what you guys say, so I know what I want to do. I'm going to go the exact opposite of both you clowns, and I'm going to take the lead after this weekend.
Oh, God.
Actually, I can't. I can only tie you.
Time.
Anyways, I'm going to go win against Milwaukee.
Spurs had like four guys go into protocols today.
I know. I saw that. That's why. All right. I'm going win with both. I'm going same as Joe. We're gonna all be tied at the end of the weekend.
You're just bailing off me now. I see.
Yeah, man. Well, until I'm not in last, I can do that. It's a good thing.
All right, fair.
I'm going to ride this. I'm going to try to stay tied with you guys as long as possible so that I can always pick last and I always have the advantage.
And final weekend of the season, you get all three games right and then you take
that's what I'm saying. Ultimate strategy. Anything else you want to talk about before we head out?
No, I'm just excited for these upcoming games. Hopefully we could pull out two wins so I could take the full lead over Anthony and then we get to see Kyrie back on Monday, but we'll be talking to you guys before then.
And we'll probably record again Monday, either before or after the game. I'm not sure, but
yeah,
either way, anytime we get to see Kyrie Irving on a basketball court is a privilege for not only Nets fans, but fans of the game in general. Because he is absolutely amazing to watch play basketball. So whether you hate the Nets, whether you hate his vaccination stance, whatever, anytime Kyrie Irving is on the basketball court, it is good for the NBA. Just remember that.
Absolutely.
And as always, this is Cody Mallory, your host, Sports Ethos Nets podcast. Once again, I was just joined by Joe Farrow tonight as Anthony is in Chicago. Apparently he told me that there's no Wi-Fi there. I don't know if any of you live in Chicago, if you can confirm that, but we'll have to ask Anthony next episode. Once again, he's not here to defend himself, but thank you for tuning in. As always, please comment, like, subscribe, tweet at us. We had no questions today, which is pretty upsetting. Granted, I sent out the tweet about 10 minutes before we recorded, so that was probably my fault. But for the next episode, shoot them at us, let us know. And as always, thank you for tuning in.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.